The McElroy brothers are not experts. And their advice should never be followed. Oh, Travis claims he's a sexpert. But if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids. Just so you babies out there know how cool you are for listening. What's up, you cool babies?
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like it's better with you. My life, it's better with you. This is true, it's better with two. My life, it's better with you.
Hello and welcome to my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin Tyler McElroy. What's up, Trav Nation? For one night only, we've annexed Chicago, Illinois into Trav Nation. You all belong to me.
You have
I'm your middle-aged brother. I wasn't done. Travis McElroy. And the hat's already coming off.
And I am your sweet baby brother, 30 under 30, media luminary, Griffin McElroy.
This will be the image they use for the Where Are They Now in 10 years. So, well, listen, we have a pretty good hit rate here with our luminaries.
I would also throw out, every year I'm struck by the costumes end up being something Justin would probably wear in real life, something Travis would probably wear in real life, and Griffin's choices.
I asked what the dress code was for today's show. You guys said mushroom.
Griffin also continued his proud tradition of not trying on his costume. Not a bit. I saw him pull
it
out of
a child's hat.
I watched him pull it out of that child's hat bag. It is 100% fresh, unworn, unwashed.
We also came to the realization backstage.
Sorry, Griffin reeks of freighter right now. It's hard to...
I'm the only one of us on stage who can't take their hat off, because if I do, all of a sudden I'm doing a very low quality, I would say tasteless, recreation of Aladdin. If I take my hat off, the outfit becomes appropriative. Those are the stakes. Those are the stakes. The hat's staying fucking on.
Wear this child's toadstool hat or get canceled. That's your evening.
Griffin, what we've got is kind of a fox and chicken and bag of green scenario where the vest has to come off first. Then the hat can come off safely.
And then I can put the vest on.
And then the shirt.
No. You can't put the vest back on once the hat's off. If you put the hat back on, you can put the vest back on.
Now, Griffin, can I ask super
Don't
quick,
ever take your pants off.
If you could stand, speaking of the pants, could you stand real quick, Griffin? I just need to ask a quick question. Are those special toad pants, or are they karate pants? Because they look like karate pants to me, and I was curious.
They were a part of a toad costume, Justin. Even though they might look like what could only be described as a long sleeve diaper, they are...
Your toad vest for the is shedding retweet on your t-shirt.
Yeah, that'll happen with high-quality garments, Travis. They take a while. It's called pilling, and good garments do it. Good garments pill, Travis, so don't get on my fucking ass about it.
My entire outfit costs $14 on Amazon. I feel so fucking flammable right now. You have absolutely no clue. I had them turn down the lights a little bit just for safety's sake, so I didn't just immolate right here.
I feel like a fancy prince, and I love it.
You look it.
That's wonderful. This is an advice show, okay? That's how it works. You send us your questions.
Deal with it.
Maybe we haven't done it like this in over 6 months, but...
But we still have got it.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for coming, by the way.
Yeah,
it's
y'all
really
are
nice
wild.
To be here. You know what I've always said about Chicago, Justin?
It is the home of our... Anybody know? Fun facts, trivia? Chicago is
a real dad!
No. It's the first city we ever played live.
That's true.
But Justin, just...
And the last.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun!
For reference, you can't start a sentence with, Chicago is the home of... blank and expect us to know what the rest of that might
well,
be.
Yeah,
so many people live here, dude.
Yeah, but it's like, that's what springs to mind.
Yeah,
yes, but
sure.
You know what springs to mind for me, Justin?
What?
Sheer class.
Oh, yeah.
This is a classy city.
It is a classy city,
man.
For sure.
And so
yeah.
I thought, since it was such a classy city.
Oh, no. Which one is it?
We should class up the show.
With which one, Trav? Give it to me straight, man.
And maybe talk about some works of art.
All right. I hate being on stage when that stinger plays.
Did you say stinker? Did you?
It's a good joke. What do you want? You want me to get...
I wanted an audible laugh because it's an audio podcast.
Okay.
You can't sit looking amused.
I did a point. I did a point. Which is all that joke deserved. And then you guys fucking froze the show for the people here like, no, I'm going to get my fucking nut on this joke.
I just wanted an answer from you up or down. It's not that...
Good. Sorry, I used the wrong finger when I did a point.
I didn't know if you had made the joke first, and I didn't want to steal it
from you. Whoa! I've never made that sound before in my life.
I believe you meant, woohoo!
Actually.
Oh, no.
Toad doesn't sound like that.
Not my toad. Hashtag not my toad.
Okay.
Let's start the podcast. Over.
The year is 2010. Okay.
What could possibly be on there?
The answers?
To work a fart? You can't get the work of fart answers locked away in your brain?
I don't want to get it wrong. That would be embarrassing.
Okay.
In this classic...
Did you explain what work of fart is? You haven't done it in a long-ass time. You should explain what
it is. I will... describe a classic work of art with some minor changes.
Yeah. Puerile in nature.
Yes.
Eye of the beholder. And Justin and Griffin will have to guess with the title of that.
It's way more fun than it sounds. Trust me. You're going to get
You're
real
the one who made me describe it.
Okay, right. You're right. Yeah.
In this classic children's story, trapped... in a magical, whimsical, upside-down world, a lost penis must find his way home.
Narnia, Barnia, Farnia, Scarnia.
Wrong direction.
Shit. Magical, upside-down world?
Flaccid. Whimsical?
Whimsical. Oh. No.
Flaccid in Wonderland?
No, close.
Alice and Chunder. Chunder isn't anything. Alice.
Justin was closer.
What did he say? A limp. A
phallus in Wonderland.
There it is. Phallus in Wonderland.
Nothing feels worse than winning this game.
The next is a classic film.
Okay.
Oh. All right.
In this classic film.
Love those. So exciting and funny and good. All
Paul
of those.
Newman's character makes a bet that he can eat a bunch of boiled eggs and then he vomits everywhere.
Cool and puke.
In case you couldn't hear it, that was Cool Hand Puke. Yes. It's 1-1.
I don't know how to celebrate.
I would ask that you let Travis finish his great skit that he wrote.
Nah, man, if I got it, I'm going to fucking fire. You can't stop me from doing that. I got the heart of a champion.
This is the tiebreaker.
Okay.
This line became the title of a book in which there was an editorial written answering whether or not Santa Claus existed to a young labia.
Yes, vagina, there's a Santa Claus?
Yes!
Damn it!
Really good. Really good. Way better than Griffin.
I almost ripped my hat off and threw it in protest, but I can't.
Yeah. Advice show. Back on track. I live in an apartment in Chicago. Classic. That was not me editorializing. It says classic in the email. I guess that's a classic thing.
We've all done it. Yeah.
Live in an apartment in Chicago is okay. Classic. And one of my neighbors, some people are like, I'm living in an apartment.
Yeah, sure.
One of my neighbors in the building right next to mine has a wind chime hung outside their back door. Being the windy city, you could probably infer the sound hell this makes. There looks to be around 4 apartments in the building, but I have no way of knowing which one is theirs. How can I let my feelings be known? That's from Sleepless in Chicago.
These damned wind chimes have taken everything from us.
There's only one reason for wind chimes to exist, and it's to signal that there's some bad magic flying into town.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
the Grim Reaper.
Wicked winds are blowing. Yeah. Right? That's the only time.
Some teen had a premonition that allowed them to escape their rightful death. The wind chimes are a way, an alert system of letting you know.
There's never a time in a movie where a wind chime blows and everyone's like, ooh.
Ooh, that sounds fucking great. Yeah, that's the thing. Wind chimes are busted. They can only play one song.
Yeah. That's a good point, Griffin.
You can't even tune them.
What if you had a Bluetooth speaker? Hi, sharks. It's a Bluetooth speaker. The wind blows through the hole. We call it the reception hole. And if wind blows through it, it'll play any damn song you want. Or one of 20 songs on shuffle.
Ooh.
Yeah.
As the wind gets stronger, the music gets...
Right. It comes preloaded with a selection of holiday tunes that are all in the public domain, but you can upload your own stuff if you want.
I would like an anti-wind chime that makes noise when it's not windy, because I can hear when it's windy.
Yeah, wind makes its own noise, guys.
I can see when it's windy. But if I look outside and there's stillness, that bothers me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you can... Yeah. Maybe bigger wind chimes than they have.
Oh.
Like really deep ones that are even scarier than theirs, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that the question asker includes the detail that they don't know where the person lives, as though that information would be in any way helpful to them or actionable for this person whatsoever. You're going to knock on the door? You're
gonna give a quick tap? I will say this. If I put up wind chimes and someone knocked on my door, before I even opened the door, I think, time to take the wind chimes
down. I get it.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard it too.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was already on the fence about it as I was doing it. I bought them while I was on vacation at the beach. It was that or a dried out sea.
They're really nice. They're, for what it's worth, they're really nice wind chimes.
I'm going to hang them inside. That felt dumb, but I see now hanging them outside was way worse. I don't know what I was thinking. I was in the moment. I was drunk. I'm so sorry. What's that? Just sign for a package? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I misread this.
What if you, took the wind chimes down, smashed them into 1,000 pieces? And then,
yeah.
Well, you would have to get to them first.
Yes, you take them down with a stick, and then you smash them into 1,000 pieces, and then you put a note where they were that says, fuck you. And then,
yeah.
This is my new thing. I want to try this kind of thing now. You know
but
what
you
I mean?
Understand, you understand, though, that you could give that advice to most questions, but there's a thing called repercussions of your actions.
Now, here's what you do. You pin it on somebody else. You knock them down, smash them. Then you put a note that says, sorry, I got too windy, the wind.
Okay.
Because here's the thing about wind chimes.
Yeah.
There is an amount of wind where they're effective, and it's between here and here, right? Because here, no wind, nothing.
1 to 3 knots.
Too much wind, they're gone.
They're gone. They're out of here, basically.
The wind will take care of that for you.
Yeah. How about another question?
I would love that from you.
I've learned my boss is a champion collegiate fencer. How do
reaction. Well done.
How do I introduce more sword fighting into my boring payroll job? Travis told me that he made up the name, so I have to get the pronunciation just right.
If you'll excuse me.
Okay. A payroll.
You guys are fucking kicking ass out there tonight with the correct responses to the jokes coming off this stage. It's really, really impressive.
It actually makes you feel better when you laugh right.
Yes.
It's
if
better.
You laughed too much at that, I would have been like, what the fuck are we doing out here, guys?
Don't give us that. We don't need that.
No.
A payroll.
Yeah. No. Oh, Trav, buddy, you can't try it again.
No, I'm mad.
No.
I'm against him.
Wait, are you here?
Okay, all right.
Here's what you need to do. You can't introduce sword fighting all at once.
It's called assault, bro. Yeah.
You have to do it kind of inadvertently, but pardon my pun, pointedly. Where you're going to start pointing at things sharply.
Yeah.
Hand me that. What's that? Give me that. Right? And then see if he starts countering.
Yeah, that's huge.
If he'll meet your point with another point that stops you from pointing all the way. Oh, what's that? It's a tete-a-tete.
What if he comes back too hot, though, because he's a champion fencer, and you go, hey, hand me those paper clips, and he just goes, and stabs you through the chest with his sword. I just spit all over your face.
Wait, where'd the sword come from?
From the fucking belt that they're wearing all the... Travis!
Is that how he found out
Travis,
he's a collegiate? Wait.
Travis! If you were an Olympic-level fencer, like I think they said that this person is...
Wait, I think it just said award-winning. Was that it?
What other awards could there be?
They're being humble. It's the Olympic.
Okay.
Gold. If you're an Olympic...
Yuri on slice. Thank you.
Great. I love it. If they're carrying an Olympic gold in fencing, it's wild to think that they're not also carrying a rapier or something with them all the time.
You would be wearing the medal all the time, yes?
The medal would be on all the time. The sword would be on all the time. That way, nobody would ask me any questions ever.
Yeah.
They would look at the gold medal on my chest and be like, wow, that's dope. What did he do? Oh, I see the sword on his back. Probably sword shit. Be wild if he was a gymnast.
Now, I have a pretty complicated idea if you guys can give me a few minutes of your valuable time.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, we rarely ask for that space.
I know. It's weird for me to...
We're not going anywhere, man.
Yeah, I know. But it's just like, you got to give me a little room, okay?
Yeah, sure.
So...
Do you want us quiet or can we still do jokes?
Okay, no, you can like ask questions if you want.
Okay,
because
cool.
Like, and if it's... If you start to think it's like a bad idea, you can just say that and I'll stop.
Okay. Probably won't, though. That's not really but the like nature that, of comedy.
I just would like you asked for the space, Jeff.
Yeah. I'm just saying if you think it's a bad idea.
If you ask for a runway to take off on... The air traffic controller doesn't go, actually don't.
You know what, Travis? I would actually love to get this bit started because I don't know how long it's going to go, and I...
Well, okay.
I want to give Justin the space.
We got to get these people home.
Yeah.
What if you could arrange for your office to be robbed by Dr. Blade, the sword genius?
Uh-huh.
Now, this is important. This part's very important. For weeks before... You have to start talking up Dr. Blade, the sword genius.
Now,
it's really important that you start saying weeks before. Have you heard
of... Did you see in the paper? Yeah.
Did you see in the paper that Dr. Blade, the sword genius, struck another business?
Hey, check out this...
You think you could start just by saying DBTSG, and they're like, what? And I'm like, oh
Dr. Blade,
you know,
the sword genius.
Yeah. You're not in.
And then...
Check out this clip on my phone. It's a news report about Dr. Blade, the sword genius. Yeah... The anchor looks a lot like me because it's my
and
brother.
Then you say, this part's going to be tricky, but you have to start bringing a sword with you. Because you,
wait, why?
Because you've heard about Dr. Blade, the sword genius, right?
Oh, and, cool.
And so when Dr. Blade, the sword genius, finally arrives, and this is a professional stunt person.
Obviously.
Who has deep, deep financial debt that the only way they can free their family from is by sacrificing their life for this ruse.
Now, you run a risk there, Griffin, because if this person is on dire enough straits and they put the work into getting good enough with a sword to become Dr. Blade, the sword genius, plausibly...
They can't turn that off.
They can't turn that off. It's a real fine line. They could start knocking over real Quiznos for real and just... You know what I mean?
Oh, you create.
That is just a criminal.
Hey, Justin, can I ask you the question real quick?
We're only on
thinking?
Step seven. Go ahead.
I know. But everybody's bothered by this, so they have to know. Is he a genius with a sword or a sword-wielding genius?
I mean, it's kind of both, right?
No.
Yeah.
Because well, a genius with a sword does not imply like a mastery of the blade.
It's a type of genius. It's just a genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
That didn't answer my question.
It's okay. Travis, this is not the space that we guaranteed.
The fateful day arrives.
Yeah.
Dr. Blade, the sword genius, to everyone's surprise, bursts into the office and...
The payroll office.
The payroll office and kicks the door in.
Yeah.
And then you... try to the best of your ability, stand up to Dr. Blade, the sword genius.
Yes.
But, oh, you are killed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, shit. We should have mentioned. The body count on this particular suggestion from Justin Tyler McElroy is 2.
Yeah.
One of them is you, most notably.
Wait.
How bad do you want to get this done?
Who else gets killed?
The sword genius. Or the professor. Or the, like, payroll boss.
Sorry, guys. Nobody gets killed for real in this idea. That's why it's so important that you let me finish.
Okay.
Okay, here's the next 2 words I was going to say. It's fake. Okay, thank you. So if I could just say those 2 syllables, it is fake.
Now, but notably, the person... most skill with a sword doesn't know that, Justin.
That's fucking, yeah, Trav, absolutely. That's why I told it the way I did, so they could be in his shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin.
Right, so.
This is a good idea so far.
I'm almost done. Then,
hard to poke
dead,
holes in
you're
it.
Dead on the ground. The boss sees the sword and Dr. Blade, the sword genius.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's only one person... that can stand
when you get
them.
Killed, you have to throw your sword backwards.
Exactly.
And it stabs down into the ground.
I actually don't think you should do that. I don't think you should trust yourself.
You should gently lay it down.
You'll
it's a
high
quality
it.
Weapon. You don't want to hurt it.
Yes. And then your boss finally gets a chance to shine and demonstrate their sword skills. Alternately, if he's a man, you could just do it wrong in front of him. And
that's one way for sure.
He'll give you all the time you need. And that's my 2 different ideas. Either one would be
one
equally
of those
effective.
2.
I have an idea.
Do you need room for it?
No, I don't. It's short, sweet, to the point. Your boss has one thing. One thing that is your boss's, and he doesn't feed to all the employees at the office like a bunch of hungry little baby birds. One thing is fencing, and you want to take that from him and make it a workplace activity. I'm just saying, what about the bosses, though?
Yeah, what about this poor dude 3 years in the future? He's like, oh, another fencing mug. Thanks, guys.
And Griffin, I just want to say it's really great that you're out here looking after the bosses, the landlords, realtors.
They work so hard for us.
You only have to worry about one apartment. They have to worry about dozens.
All of them.
Imagine that
and the
pressure.
One thing that they get to blow off steam is fencing, and you want to take that.
Every landlord and boss fences when you're not looking. And I don't just mean when they get home. I mean anytime you're not looking.
I feel like that was really helpful. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think it kicked ass.
Okay. I was just asking the one person, but I should have been more clear 100%.
How applicable is this to the rest of the audience?
Yeah, a bunch of people were like, huh, some good stuff in there. Some nice takeaways.
I mean, it's shot pudding for me, but yeah, it helps.
Pull that into a TED Talk, and I will buy as much as you got.
If you guys...
I don't think TED Talk's about selling product, Dustin. Although, who am I kidding? Capitalism.
Yeah, man.
You don't... Do you... I forget what I was going to fucking say because of Travis's mug.
Stupid.
I just thought I could win people over by shitting on capitalism.
Yeah, dog, in the laziest imaginable way. Next question.
How do I...
Speaking of buying things...
How do I convince my mother to let me put metallic dinosaur sculptures in our front yard? She thinks... they are ugly and tacky, but I think they are majestic. We live in rural West Austin, so they could easily be seen as an eyesore, but I think they are fun. Now, Griffin tells me that rural West Austin, and God, he should know, because is a part of Chicago.
I lived here for a little less than 1 year.
Is that correct? Rural West Austin is part of Chicago or adjacent?
I mean, Austin is part of Chicago.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
All right.
And would that location make it an eyesore where it wouldn't be other places?
No, probably not.
No, okay. Probably not. Brothers, how do I convince my mom to let me put up at least one dinosaur sculpture to spruce up our yard. That's from Delightful Dinosaurs in Dripping. Everyone in your mind's eye should take a second to imagine what you think the question asker is wanting to put up in their mom's yard. And then, Paul, if you could be so kind as to supply them.
They with, sent this with picture in?
So this is sent by them. Now.
I have thoughts.
I don't know your mom, but.
Yeah, here's what I'll say.
If you're listening to this later, oh boy. It's
like they made a Tin Man out of a dinosaur and painted it shitty.
It's color blocked. It's got a red tummy and a blue leg and blue
scoop. And the rivets are bad.
Yeah,
it looks
rusty.
Like someone threw it down the flight of stairs of an old boat.
It does look like an old boat thing.
It looks like an old boat
the
dinosaur.
The weld marks are gruesome.
Did you make this? Please say no. Fuck. Wait, shut up, everyone. Hey, everyone, shut up. Did you make this? Awesome. Fuck.
Awesome. Okay, great.
Oh, shit.
Woo!
Wowzers.
That's not even dodging a bullet.
My heart is racing right now.
That's like somebody shot a bullet and you kept your eyes closed saying, did it hit me?
Yeah.
I agree with your mom that you should not put one... Let me finish. I agree with your mom that you should not put one dinosaur in the yard. You should not put one dinosaur in the yard. Your mom's right. Not one dinosaur should go in your yard. Now, if you want to put a lot of dinosaurs in your yard, now you got something going. Metal animals, we were talking about backstage, they have a proud, strange tradition, and there's a lot of power wrapped up in them. Like in Huntington, we have the pink elephant and the pink giraffe at opposite ends in the city, and they help to keep everything in balance, right?
Yes.
They don't.
There's a ley line running of sweet West Virginia energy.
It's them to Blucifer.
About equidistance betwixt my house and my in-law's house, there is a large oxen with a bowler hat on and a jaunty scarf.
It goes to the fucking cloud bean here in Chicago, which is a dog. People don't know this. It was going to be a dog, but they didn't get to fucking finish it, man. Yeah.
Because of capitalism.
Travis!
So, a whole garden of them, though, then you got a theme going. Yeah. Then you got a whole menagerie.
Counterpoint, you can do one really big.
Yeah.
Because then it's a thing, right? Yeah. You just have one. Because, listen, I'm looking at this question asker. To your mom's point, there's no way that just naturally fits in with whatever
there is. There's also no sense of scale. It could be 8 inches tall.
Yeah. But if it's 12 feet tall, now it's the rest of the yard's problem.
Can you shout the number of feet tall this is?
Five feet?
That's
right. I don't know what line, but that is right on the line.
If it was...
It's on the bubble, man. I don't know in which direction.
If it was six, now we've got something.
Six can stand on its own.
Right.
Right? Six and up can be on its own.
Six gets turned into a Pokestop.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Five.
Six will get you to a geocache, at least a nano or a micro.
Five feels like a lack of commitment to six.
Yeah.
Could have been six.
Five looks like you're looking for a bad theme park to donate it
to. Yeah. Five is seemed like fun at the store.
Yeah. Unless you get a bunch of fives. And then it's
now,
all of a sudden you got a little museum in your yard. And that's
one
cool.
1 foot Ian Malcolm to go underneath.
That's
it.
Cool. Yeah. Create a whole tableau.
Scale.
I will say, this looks like maybe something from the World Market Collection. I would be surprised if they offered an assortment of dinosaur varieties. I think the wildest imaginable scenario is you have 10 of this exact dinosaur in your yard.
All facing the same way.
Can you imagine?
Towards your house.
Oh. with one inside already. And you're maybe the window's broken.
And you're dead, but it's fake. I finished. Thank you for letting me finish that song, because that would have been really confusing if I just said you're dead. I appreciate that very much.
How about another question?
I have more. Okay.
Hey, the questions were fucking great, y'all. You did such a good job.
I'm a herpetologist in training, and I catch a lot of reptiles and amphibians.
Some of them are 5 feet tall dinosaurs.
A while ago, I brought one of my catches to my boyfriend's house, and it got loose in his bedroom. How do I stop this scenario from reoccurring?
I have a billion, thousand, trillion suggestions right off the bat.
But I got one big one.
Yeah, it says, the next question is, or how should I handle it if it does again? I'm going to amend that if to win, considering you don't know the answer to the first question. Or how should I handle it if it does again? The snake was eventually found, and it was non-venomous. That's from Reptile Wrangler in Wisconsin.
Are you here?
Are you here? Hi.
Now, this is also important, and I hadn't thought of this until hearing it out loud. Boyfriend, are you here?
Okay.
Now, boyfriend, this is just yes or no answer context. Were you alerted to the presence of the snake?
Huge, huge. The implications of this question are enormous, boyfriend.
Before this occurred, before the animal escaped, were
you knew there was a chance.
You knew there was a chance.
I like that.
So that's your partner at some point said, I might bring a snake home.
Chance of snakes is just outside.
That's a great point also, Justin. Maybe fewer in the city of Chicago.
But if a snake does need brought inside anywhere, I would say big city, I see a snake outside, they're safer in here.
I will say this, question asker for the future, that is an extremely late time to put the word non-venomous.
And
it should not be, for future reference, the very, 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 very last word in the question. The implications, as Griffin is fond of saying, are huge. Of this word, you can't put it so low. It's got to be earlier next time.
You also did kind of sneak snake in there, where you said, I catch a lot of reptiles and amphibians. I brought one of my catches inside. Anyways, the snake was eventually caught. Could have been a frog or a turtle.
No fucking way, man. Every herpetologist who has ever gone into the field, you know they did it because they were just a fucking snake freak. Wait, am I wrong? I heard eight
a
gnomes.
A lot of noises.
A lot of herpetologists in the audience.
Not a lot of hissing, though.
No. No one gets into it for the fucking frogs, Travis.
Is an amateur's game.
A lot of us, when we're walking in the park and someone brings their snake and they're like, do you want to pet the snake? And you say like, yeah, sure. A lot of us do it. And you're like, that wasn't as weird as I thought it was going to be. But a lot of people are like, I only want to do that now.
There was one of my weirdest zoo-going memories.
Yeah.
So one time, I was at the Cincinnati Zoo, and this guy had an albino, like, boa constrictor thing.
Yeah.
He put it on my arms.
No thanks.
And he was like, yeah, hold it for a second. Huh? I'm just going to open up its little enclosure, put it in. And the key broke in the enclosure. And the gentleman says, ah, man, just hold on a second. And left.
What?
That's a fucking Travis.
You just got John Quinones, dude. No way.
That's fucking great, dude. It sounds like he got advice from a different advice podcast.
A funnier one, to be fair.
Dear nephews, I really would love to prank a kid. I work as a zookeeper, mostly in snake department.
Yeah, I'm a nasty one.
Yeah.
I love these squiggly guys. I love the way they swiggle and squirm. I love it.
I'm one of those.
You got me dead to rights. I love how their tongue splits in twain. They're perfect. The little eyes, they eat a hamster so slow you wouldn't believe it. You could watch these things eat for weeks. We just moved and our neighbor has a kid that mows lawns. There's something off in the word usage in here somewhere. Our neighbor has a kid that mows lawns. Knows would maybe be a better thing there. Knows a kid that mows lawns.
Neighbor has a kid that has a kid that
has
mows lawns.
Has a child.
But not like one might say they have a Roomba.
Okay, you're right.
He has asked us several times.
We have just recently moved and our neighbor has created a kid that mows lawns.
Okay. He has asked us several times if we would like him to cut our lawns, and we have rejected him and told him we really want to cut our own grass, and we just bought a new mower. Well, I finally mowed, and my lawn looks like shit compared to what he does. Brothers, what do I do? The shrimp mower's remorse.
This fucking rules, though. Thank you for me. Thank you. This kicks ass. This
okay, wait. Great. I have another context question that's very important. Just shout it out. One word answer. How old would you say this kid is?
12.
That's the perfect answer. Thank you very much.
That's a good answer. That's thanks.
Great. Old enough to have a childlike judgment.
Yeah. I mean, the kid might not give a shit about your lawn. The kid is like, kid lawnmowers, professionals, they're like sharks. They have to always keep moving. They can't, you can't be like, no, I don't want you to cut my lawn. And then like, they circle around. Shucks. They have to move on to the next
off,
client.
They're losing money. They always have to be mowing.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
No matter where, they always have to stay in motion.
It depends on their grind set.
Yeah.
Because if they see the opportunity to swoop in and say, huh,
looks like shit. Looks super shitty. Huh? Not as easy as it looks, huh?
Yeah. Maybe leave it to the professionals, Mr. Jordan.
Tell you what. Why don't you let me dip in there and see if I can't get a few more inches off the top there. Yeah. Let me just give a little cleanup. Just a little.
What kind of patterns you do?
Oh, no.
This kid's going to have to take you down a peg. I'm sorry, but that's going to be the price you pay for a great-looking lawn, is you're going to have to be absolutely humiliated by this child.
I mean, and that kid can name their price.
Yeah. Anything.
History has told us that eventually every event that takes place in our lives will be a kid taking us down a peg.
Yeah.
So get started now so you're like used to it.
Trav makes a good point, though. You are absolutely paying more money than you would have had he not had to ask you seven times before you came crawling back to him with your shabby lawn.
Is it possible what we're dealing with here is sabotage?
That kid psychically made me do a shitty job mowing my lawn.
Yeah, you flip it over, and what? Where'd the blade go? This is just a series of Pokemon cards taped together. Making flap-flap noises.
Hey, listen, it's just us here. If you did it on purpose because you actually hate mowing the lawn, and is a long con, it's okay. This is a safe place.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything, but just know that I know, okay?
I will say this, I don't have a large yard, neither does my neighbor, but he bought a riding lawnmower, and I don't have that. And so it looks really fun for him to do it, and really hard for me to do it. So sometimes I'll let my lawn go longer than I should, for hopes that he'll be like, do you just want me to do it?
Yeah.
And I would say, yeah.
Hey, but he loves riding that thing, probably.
I bet he does. Look how fun it is.
It does. You should ask him if you can have a turn.
No, I wouldn't trust myself with that, Justin.
Just ask him for a turn.
I've gone
turn.
Too fast in a golf cart and almost flipped it. I don't trust myself. No. Imagine if I had killer blades on the bottom of a golf cart.
I'm going to ask next time I come to your house if I could just take it for one spin.
Hey, Justin, no, you won't. I know you.
I probably won't. Yeah, I talk a big game, but you're right.
Yeah, you wouldn't knock on your own neighbor's door to ask that, let alone my neighbor's.
My teen grind set was to mow lawns one time. It was our neighbor Tommy's house. His dad hired me to cut his lawn. This is a true story. But our lawnmower sucked shit and used fucking gasoline from the gas station. Are you kidding me? Anyway, to save costs, I got a push mower instead. And so I went and mowed his lawn with a push mower. What, with no motor or nothing in it, just
those
the blades
don't do
whirling
anything.
About.
They just,
well, your own natural athletic skill.
And I only got about halfway up the yard and was like, that sucks. No way. And I went home without saying anything to him. And 2 weeks later, I went to his house like, hey, I never did get paid. I'll have my office send you an invoice.
A little conversation.
27% approximately of your yard that I did mow.
I'm pretty sure mowing is an all or nothing job. I don't think that you get paid for the amount
mowed.
There was
one beautiful patch of his yard. Where,
but that makes the rest of it look so bad.
Where a young boy did the hardest thing he's ever had to do in his entire life. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
If you want to mix up your look, like, wait,
mix it up, like, wear pants instead of a shirt.
What?
Put shoes on your hands.
Not in some sort of zany detective way, but like a real way that real people do when they change their clothes because they want a fresher look. But it's hard to know where to start, right? Because you're the only you that you have.
Whoa, wait. You can't just breeze past that, Justin.
You need an outside perspective. Somebody say,
a second you.
I see a future you. And that's Stitch Fix. They got stylists that are willing to work. I shouldn't have said willing, but you get it. Stylist.
Willing to look at your terrible body and make choices for you.
And it took some convincing, sure.
Sure, of course.
No, they want to help you. They want to help you to upgrade your wardrobe with some pieces that are going to feel authentic to you, but with a fresh new you kind of energy.
I love that, Justin.
You tell them your budget. You tell them what kind of events you might have coming up, what kind of garments you're in the market for. They're going to send you a box. You keep all the stuff you like.
And you keep the box. We've never talked about that before.
That's true.
But hey, man, free box.
Nice box.
Good news. Good news for some cats. There we got a free box coming.
Free
box coming for you. But you're gonna hang on to a lot of those clothes, I bet, because they're gonna get you. They're just gonna understand you. You got style that makes you feel as good as you look. Get started today at stitchfix.com/brother. That's stitchfix.com/brother. stitchfix.com/brother.
We also want to tell you about Aura Frames. I love my Aura Frame. It sits right next to our front door. We come back from a trip. We come back from a day out with the kids. We upload the photos right there, and then they scroll through, and then our kids point at them and go, is that me or Dottie? And I'm like, that's you. We just put it there. And they go, is that me when I was younger? And I say, yeah. And they go, scroll back. This is a picture of you. Scroll back to a picture of me. And I'm like, okay, you got it. And that's why, for you, an Aura Frame is the perfect gift for anyone you love.
Can you imagine trying to navigate that situation with a paper?
Check this out. Watch this right now.
Boop, 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 boop.
I just sent a photo to my mother-in-law's frame. Literally in that amount of time,
whoa.
I opened the app, shot her a new photo I took of the girls. That's how quick and easy it is.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Are you looking for a gift for a mother in your life? Well, sure you are, because Mother's Day is coming up. So let me recommend Aura Frames. Also great for like graduations or birthdays.
Didn't they have a great deal for Mother's Day, Trevor? I heard something about that.
They do, Justin. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code MYBROTHER, all one word, at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back. What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
What? This just came across my desk. This just came across my desk just now. Holy crap. First image, please.
Yeah!
No manufacturer's markings that we see. Negative energy shows signs of age. Unsure of its composition. Maybe a plaster type, but also looks like it may have had some type of hair.
Justin.
Juice!
Justin.
J-Dog. Listen.
Justin, read the title of the posting for the love of God.
Haunted, paranormal, creepy, 4-inch doll face mask, huh? Question mark, not nice, negative, evil? Evil question mark?
Yeah, man.
I'll never forget when they made that death mask of Steve Martin after he'd been burned in a fire.
We purchased this odd vessel online auction about a year and a half ago. Seller had it listed as an evil entity. They purchased it in a cult shop in Michigan.
In an occult shop or in a cult shop?
When we communicated, we tried only once. We've all experienced the same feeling of being outside our bodies. Looking at what was going on in the room... Instead of actually being there.
No!
Holy shit!
Our daughter
no!
trying to see what she could feel. Also, being a sensitive, I picked it up as she did. The burning sensation she felt through her arm made her drop it back down. She felt a rush go through her, and as she started to speak, started choking uncontrollably, where she had to leave the room. Took a few minutes, still having a hard time speaking. We told her whatever was physically attacking her was not allowed. We gave it no permission to make physical contact. And as we decided to remove it, two family photos fell off a side table, smashing the glass on each. Asking good or evil, as we started to pack things up, we heard what sounded like the word, enforce. Our K2 kept flashing between yellow and red, and the mel meter rose quickly up to 1.5. Our daughter and I, being sensitives, we felt hatred, very uneasy. We didn't want her to hear us. As I said before, the chances are with attachments, they just don't like you, won't interact or act out because of it. Maybe react differently in a different environment, but we have no room to attempt negative attempting among us. We think it's negative entity, unsure of evil. We still start my bidding at just above the cost of what I paid for the items. As to cover the cost of selling.
Yeah.
The cost of selling.
I don't believe in hiking them up. The bidding is your decision. And rehumming items is my goal.
Yeah. You're on eBay. Yeah.
Yeah, you are on eBay, though. My favorite part of every Child's Play movie is when the parents are like, we did spend a lot of money on that doll, though.
Yeah, mom and dad just throw it in a fire.
I don't know. Hey, can we go back to the inside of the mask picture? Thanks.
Yes.
Hey, guys. Hey, gang. I can smell that image.
Hey, Paul, this is all well and good, but I'm ready to meet Todd.
I don't think Todd's haunted, guys.
I want to read this one verbatim. This is Todd. He is a trickster. Loves to play pranks and trick people.
He loves his pet flashlight.
He will have you going around in circles. He does move his vessel. It is very slight from what I have seen. You wouldn't even know he moved it.
But he'll crook his knee.
But I know. But I can tell he moved it. I would definitely take a picture to see how exactly he was placed. If you love pranks, you and him would definitely get along.
Definitely. We all love YouTube.
Listen, I would, if you love pranks, you and him would definitely get along. Definitely needs a keeper who doesn't mind pranks. I would definitely recommend setting boundaries on how far he can go with the pranks.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I can't stress enough. That's true whether we're talking about dolls or friends.
But especially Travis. Not dolls. Todd.
I don't feel positive energy from him. But I also don't feel negative energy from him.
Only there was a word.
He is definitely an interesting spirit to get to know.
Wait, Todd's only a green.
But the red also looks illuminated. Todd's all over the fucking place, man.
It's because he's not negative or positive.
Right, right.
He's both
negative positive.
Hey, speaking of neutral spirits, let's meet another one.
Now listen, I love neutral Roberta. She is my doll that I keep at home.
No, she's my doll.
Neutral Roberta?
Yeah, Griffin?
Damn.
This
is embarrassing.
It's just a neutral spirit.
No, hold on.
Okay.
I have a neutral spirit in my home, sir, and that is no neutral spirit.
No, it's a neutral spirit. It looks like a kind of a floppy clown. If you can't see the picture, it's a neutral spirit. Now, everyone, think of a question in your mind Help me out. Think of a question in your mind. You're looking at this doll. You have one question in your mind. Think of that question. Have that one question, and I'm going to answer it for you with the very first line, which gives you the most important information.
Great.
I'm unsure of Bobby's gender.
Great.
Folks.
As a description of an item that you are selling, that is one of the sort of more wild ways to...
I'm unsure of Bobby's gender, as it hasn't really given me a clear answer to that question. Though not necessarily harmful, this spirit is a major trickster, so beware of that.
Is something going on in the spiritual plane that we need to be concerned about?
Now, this is where
Can
things...
Can I also say, when someone's talking about a neutral thing to me, rarely is the word beware associated.
Yeah.
So, it definitely seems to favor women over men. I don't know if it's due to possible trauma or is a simple preference.
What the fuck are they doing in this fucking sale description?
It's just buyer beware, I guess. I don't know. I just know the spirit goes haywire when my husband is near the vessel.
Why are you so concerned about this?
Because they want to brag how hot their husband is. I get it.
Also, wait, haywire to you is like, ooh la la.
Yeah, all right. It can be a bit uncooperative when trying to communicate with, like many inanimate objects, you'll find that it is a little bit uncooperative on the conversation front. The vessel itself isn't in the best conditions. The neck seems to be, quote, broken.
Do you think it's a haunted doll of a haunted doll?
That's... You don't need to describe it that way ever in a million years. I never would have looked at that and thought, I hope the neck's unbroken.
But to be fair, if you were going to haunt a vessel.
Lastly is one of my favorites I've ever covered, and I might buy them.
Holy shit. Is it just a racehorse?
I'm going to read you all of Hugo's descriptions so everybody can fall in love with Hugo.
Hugo Weaving.
Hugo is probably... All these are probably still for sale.
Oh, yeah!
Hugo is a little... He looks like a little raccoon kind of Ewok kind of guy, I guess.
What the fuck did you say he looked like?
He looks like a Chihuahua bandit.
Okay, he looks like a Chihuahua bandit, whatever. Okay, so here's the description on Hugo.
He's like Mogwai superhero.
Okay. Here's the description on Hugo.
I love him.
Fuck you, Griffin. That's a villain. That's a thief. Look at the thief, man.
No, I like him. I want to pet him.
You're drawn to a bad boy.
I want to pet him. How much is he?
That's a chihuahua that steals things.
He's probably already been sold. Listen, Hugo is here and there and seems to be everywhere.
That's great.
Sometimes he is nowhere to be found and just likes to watch. If you are leaving the house...
We've turned the corner on Hugo.
You dropped the fucking bag, spirit of Hugo.
If you're leaving the house, he just wants to come with. He is a little fellow.
He loves perching on top of statues.
I like him again. I like him again.
He is a little fellow.
I like him again.
Easy to travel with. And that's the whole description. That's it. They don't even act like it's haunted. It's just, this thing's name is Hugo, and it's here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah! Yeah!
Okay,
yeah.
I'm coming around. I'm coming around on you.
Paul!
It is a mask!
Of course it's a mask, Travis.
Paul, quick, I need you to lock these files on your hard drive so they can't accidentally be deleted. I need you to save all these files, Paul.
I fucking love Hugo. He's everywhere.
That's their entire description, by the way. That's all we know about Hugo. He may not even be haunted in retrospect.
This might just be a cool doll.
Might just be a cool dog. And that is your Haunted Doll Watch Chicago.
Chicago. We are going to ask some people to come down to the microphone here, center stage, right in front of God and everyone. Hi.
Okay,
Hi.
I'm Morgan. My pronouns are she, hers. Later this summer, I'm donating a kidney. thank you. And
for money, she's selling it. No, sorry, go ahead.
And to a guy, your own body, right? Not just one you have lying around.
Yes. To a guy I met on a different podcast.
Oh, wow.
But the tradition at the hospital, Rush, where I'm donating, is that they do... a little like hero walk where you're in a hallway and there's all these people lined up and they clap at you. And I hate it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Of course, yeah.
You haven't done it before, right? Because Morgan.
Morgan.
This is important, Morgan. If you've done this kidney donation walk before, do not do it a second time.
Yeah.
But so, I'm the kind of person who donates a kidney to a stranger, so I don't want to say no and make them sad.
Right, of course. Right. No, you can't say no because people are going to clap at you, Morgan. That's fucking wild.
So what are some cool things I can say while they walk me down this aisle and clap at me?
Morgan, let's start with this. Second time's the charm. We'll just build off of...
That's funny. Thank you. Morgan... You're the one giving a kidney. You can ask for whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, stop. Hey, how about this? Stop fucking clapping.
This is weird. No one look at me.
Ask to be carried in a fucking Egyptian litter with curtains on the side so you don't have to see the duo kidney peons standing on the sides. Send a fake Morgan down the line. You're the one giving the kidney.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Charles.
I think it would be amazing if you pushed one person over. At that exact moment, you see someone standing near a trash can. Looks like a real Poindexter, right? And you walk past them and they're like, kidneys, and then you just give them a tough shove.
Yeah.
A little cold one right into the recycling bin. That'd be amazing.
Any practical person is going to say, it balances out.
Fair. It's fair.
I one.
I guess it was a misunderstanding. And then as you're walking away, it wasn't a misunderstanding.
I'm a jerk kidney donator.
You could go the opposite direction, which is be fucking stoked out of your mind as you walk down this receiving line of just like, yeah, here it comes. Here comes the meat.
And then in the end, yell, I'm so excited to get a kidney from someone.
Yeah.
Witness me.
Witness me. I'm about to be inside you.
Walk down whispering to people, I'm giving him the bad one.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone. That's the one I put all the bad shit
in. It's got a fucking stone in it. Gotcha.
As you're going under, just tell the surgeon, I've buried all the clues inside of me. Best of luck. Best of luck, doctor man. Oh, you're out. And then there's going to be some part where it's like, I wonder if there are clues. I guess a little poke around couldn't hurt.
And then what's that they find in there? A diamond.
Yeah.
That's cool. The kidney stone you were talking about.
That's awesome. I'm pretty sure I was the one
who
talked about
it. And there's Martin Short in a tiny ship.
Whoa.
Wait, now that's not what happened in the movie?
No, it's absolutely not what happened in the movie Interspace that nobody in this audience has seen. Oh, fuck. Sorry. Wow, Chicago. Okay. There's fucking Interspace heads over here.
Hey, Morgan, do you want to back out of this?
Absolutely not.
Okay, great. This was your one chance to do it legally.
Hey, Morgan, have you thought about the fact that you're going to have to walk back to your seat with a bunch of people applauding at you yet?
No, this is an excellent point.
This is an excellent once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
We're going to fucking cancel it out.
Okay. No.
You're going to walk back to your seat in complete silence.
No one make...
And then you're going to decide which you like better.
This is huge. No, seriously, don't think like, I'm going to be the one person that fucking gets on the...
This will be special. This will mean something someday.
Did that help, Morgan?
It did.
Complete silence!
Thank you, Morgan.
Go.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
He/him's cool. I work at an ice rink.
Okay.
That's a little while from here, and I work as a Zamboni driver.
Cool.
I just want to say, Charlie, you did put in your question that you drive a Zamboni. If you didn't work at an ice rink,
yes,
I would be
freelance street Zamboni artist.
Yeah, we can get we sometimes do get in a lot of trouble for that. But
it would be cool to see a Zamboni driving down the street in the winter, like, oh, here it goes. I mean,
to be honest, that is how you transport them.
I was going to say, how do you get a Zamboni from one place to the other? Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, I know very little about hockey, and how do I interact with people that are hockey players, big hockey fans.
Yeah.
Charlie, you mind treating me to a little bit of a bio real quick on how one ends up driving a Zamboni?
Without being interested in hockey.
How do you just like cold stuff, or what's up?
Big round cold stuff, huh?
The non-funny answer is that it's also at a pool that I started working at first.
Okay. And then, how did that get broached, though? No. Were they like, oh, you're really good at taking care of the water. How are you at driving large machinery and smoothing things out?
What if the pool was colder and very dense?
Yeah.
But rough. And needed some work.
And needed to be sliced off, yeah. Basically, the pool's only open in the summer.
Yeah.
And so when...
Indoor, outdoor?
Outdoor pool, yeah.
Outdoor, okay. So an outdoor Zamboni driver.
No, the pool is outside.
Now, hold on, driver.
The ice rink is
inside.
Oh,
no, wait, so the pool... Hold on, no, hold on.
No, everybody shut up. Griffin thought the pool froze. Griffin thought the pool froze and everybody skated on it, guys. Everybody shut up, listen.
That's you, by the way.
I'm the smartest. I didn't think the pool was the ice rink in the winter.
Griffin was thinking like, this is really smart. Why isn't everybody doing this?
If it was an ice rink, and I know Chicago gets cold, but I don't think it's an ice rink, outdoor ice rink, 9 months out of the year.
If only there was someone we could ask.
Charlie stepped away from the microphone.
I don't blame Charlie.
Charlie said, I'll let them have their moment.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, Charlie.
So it's two different... Thanks.
Yeah,
okay.
Basically.
Kick ass.
Yeah, it's cool. It's fun there. My heart rate is very high right now.
Yeah. You're doing just like driving a Zamboni, right?
Oh, yeah. It is actually very...
Probably the first time, I would think, certainly.
Well, it does get... You do get used to it, but...
It's still fun, though, I bet.
It is fun.
Yeah, I bet.
But it's scary, too.
Yeah,
because you know there's
driving.
A big stinking blade in there.
Yeah.
That's like...
Mowing the lawn.
Really... Similar.
Wait, hold on, wait.
But I don't do a shitty job, yeah.
It's scary when you do the Zamboni for you?
Well,
no judgment. I'm curious.
Yeah, like a little bit because it's got the big blade
right.
in it. You can't really see it, but
right.
it's there.
Yeah, secret yeah. blade.
And
I would hope so.
I have to do it while there are like also people on the ice still.
Oh, no. Oh wow.
Hey, Charlie, have you ever thought about the fact that you are able to hold a bunch of motherfuckers' lives in your hands? And that doesn't stress you out, but faking an interest in hockey is like too much. You're ice cold, literally, Charlie. What do you care?
Similar question, Charlie.
Sure.
Say you're a Zamboni driver for 70 years.
Okay.
In that 70 years, you kill one person.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems pretty good to me statistically. Will they give you that one?
I'm assuming it would be at the end of the 7 years.
That seems like it would be a good time for retirement.
Yeah, good time to wrap it up. Is that how they know you're done?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh,
so I'm not there
watch.
Yet.
A very cold watch. Charlie, do you live here in Chicago?
Yeah, it's suburban, but yeah.
Okay, I mean, are you interested at all in hockey?
Kind of.
You could you could get on board with the world's fucking worst hockey team ever.
Yeah.
No!
Okay, now, hold on.
Chicago and friends,
hey,
I'm very sorry that I let Griffin do that.
Try to keep in mind,
podcast.
That was Toad saying that. How much do they know about Zamboni?
Usually very little.
There you go. You don't have to know about their world. They don't know about yours.
That's huge.
And one of you could kill the other one easily.
Yeah. With their giant ice tank.
They have tiny blades on their feet. You have a giant blade under your giant tank.
Practice this.
Okay.
I can't hear you, Zamboni.
Yeah. That even
so
works.
So loud.
That works when you're not on the Zamboni. You'd be like, I just finished up on the Zamboni. That shit's real loud. So I'll talk to you about hockey tomorrow.
I'll also give you this. I saw this recently as a thing that you can say in response to anything anyone says to you, whether you know about it or not. Yeah, can you believe it?
Oh, okay.
Because then they're like, oh, did you see that trade for the hockey team just made? Yeah, can you believe it? Oh, did you see the game last night? Yeah, can you believe it? It sounds so specific, and yet it's the most nothing ever.
Okay, there's another solid technique where you could just repeat the last three words the person said. And this always works 100% of the time in any conversation.
Yeah.
So Griffin, please talk to Charlie about like something general, like what kind of... don't ask him questions.
So
just say stuff about hockey.
There's a child prodigy named Connor Bedard. He plays.
Okay, now wait. You have to take breaks. Okay, so say that first sentence.
There's a child prodigy, Connor Bedard.
Child prodigy Connor Bedard.
That's four words, but that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, that's yeah.
And you might want to make it a question, like not just repeat the word.
Okay, yeah, Connor Bedard.
He had
instructions unclear. Do we start over?
He had an oopsie daisy fall down.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, he fell down. Did it hurt?
That was so much more than three words, Charlie. I can't believe you're struggling with this so much.
All right, one more try. Go ahead, Griffin. Something about hockey.
He got a boo boo on his mouth and had to become. Big soup fan.
Big soup fan.
Yes.
Of
yes, that's great. Exactly. Big soup fan.
And
big
I'm like, soup fan. And I'm like, fucking Charlie knows hockey, man.
Yeah, yeah. Or, yeah, if you want to fake, you know, like, big soup fan. Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Like, Charlie, does that
help? Big soup fan.
Does that help, Charlie?
Yes, it does. Thank you,
Charlie. Please be Callum. Not a stranger coming down to take over the show. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Callum. I use they, them pronouns.
Hi, Callum. Callum.
So I am a snack person. Yeah. I cannot go about my life hangry. This is a consistent problem for me.
Right.
This is a wonderful framing of this question because I know what the question is, Callum. Go on.
Yeah. My question is... Is it socially acceptable to, let's say, bring a thermos of hot dogs out and either do I keep this for myself? Okay. Should I offer to share?
Right. No, please don't interrupt, Callum. Say it again. Social or?
Personal, private hot dogs.
Or?
Private hot dogs are hot dogs for money.
Personal hot dogs are a fun concept that Callum invented while writing this email. And then said, yeah, that sounds like something that exists. Now, send.
Callum, here's what I love about this.
Yeah.
I am a parent. I have two children who I often have to pack snacks for.
Yes.
When we go places. Never, ever have I thought, okay, maybe like a little baggie of goldfish. Okay, yeah, maybe some mini muffins, a thermos of hot dogs.
But at the same time, I have put some shit into bento boxes that had no fucking business being there.
But here's what I want to focus on, Callum, and here's what I loved about the question. Which do I love more? The idea of someone cracking open the thermos of hot dogs and going, sorry, these are just for me. Or, yeah, oh, I'm being so rude. Hot dog? Both are unfathomable. But here's the thing. At most, I'm consuming two hot dogs before I'm thinking about my actions.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you've prepped six or more hot dogs for an occasion in a thermos...
No, Trev. No. It's not... You're not prep... Correct me if I'm wrong. You're not prepping six... You're not getting six dogs deep in the thermos for one occasion. That's a day. You might have a breakfast dog or two, and then lunchtime, the thermos is still doing its job.
Callum, are you packing a meal, or are you having a snack?
Is this an emergency revolver of hot dogs?
Do you have some wieners chambered?
Do you have breakfast sausages in there, and then a more of a lunchtime sausage?
And then maybe a bratwurst to finish off the evening, and then a dessert sausage.
This is where I get into: is this a group or a private thing? Because if I have just one on deck for me, we're raising heads. But if I get the gang and we're all going to town,
hold on. Callum, stop it. You know what you've done, and it's ridiculous. Your question presupposes, should I bring hot dogs to share? Not, should I get a bunch of fucking hot dog accomplices to come eat these meats in the wrong way in a party setting? Because here's the thing, Callum. That presupposes you've texted, as you put it, the gang. And said, hey everyone, who's bringing the thermos full of hot dogs this time?
Psych, it's me, Callum, as always.
Ruined this one. It's not like I'm putting coffee in it after this.
I have the thermos that smells weird.
I do want to say, you said if you had go on a private hot dog adventure, you'll turn heads. There's a lack of creativity in that statement, and that you could go into a nearby bathroom or something to do your business.
That's worse, and you fucking know it. If you go to shoot up hot dogs and... You know that that is a problem in and of itself.
Yeah, but no one has to know, right, Callum? It's just a hot dog or two. Or you don't even have to go to the bathroom. You got the thermos right there. Like, you could be like, yum, yum, time for coffee.
Seems like some thick coffee.
Yeah, I don't know what sound you make while eating a hot dog discreetly from a thermos, but it, apparently it's grown.
Over shade grown.
This kicks ass, Callum. Yes, it's not. Okay, to answer your question, no, it's not socially acceptable. Now,
today,
there's no trailblazers.
But you know, we used to think that the sun went around the earth.
Thank you, Travis. Thank you. Thank you. Callum, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that answers
thank
the question.
You so thank much. You so much.
I Callum. Love that question so much.
Do we have Titus?
Titus. Oh, great, Titus. Good. I bet you're surprised to be up here, huh?
Titus.
Very surprised.
Okay. Hey, folks, we got four emails in a sequence from Titus.
All right, listen.
Now, Titus.
This is not us putting you on blast, Titus. We had a real good time reading your emails.
Titus,
backstage.
You know that... This is from a place of love, right?
Yeah. It's
yeah. Okay. Griffin, you guys laugh so much.
It was so good.
So here's Titus's four emails.
We, by the way,
I've memorized the first one because it was blank.
Yeah.
Email one.
Email.
Wait, hold on, Titus. Are you having a good time tonight?
I'm having a very good time.
Okay.
Email one, blank. Email two. I won half a vasectomy. U-103. Email three. Sorry, I meant U-206.
Okay, now hold on. You put in a seat number that was half of your actual seat number. Now, you didn't get one number wrong. You put half of what your actual seat number was. You did division and fucked up.
Were you too focused on the half of a vasectomy part?
No, I realized I was sitting in the wrong seat after I sent the email.
So it wasn't, Titus, my original assumption that you were counting 103 per testicle.
So you sent the first email from...
Then you were worried that a different Titus in U-103 would have a testicle-related question.
One testicle. One
and there would be a confusion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very
okay.
Much
and
so. Fourth,
so,
okay.
Blank, I won half a vasectomy, U-103. Sorry, I meant U-206. Fourth email. Also, I'm Titus. Sick show, by the way. And this is how you do it.
Yeah.
Titus, we don't actually have any advice for you, Titus. We just wanted to come up and say thank
you. No, I do have one question. How did you win it?
I have like 55 fucking questions. How do you not have more than one?
Oh boy, do I have a story for you. Oh,
Mr. No. Beast! Was it Mr. Beast?
It was not Mr. Beast.
Did you win it in one of Mr. Beast's diabolical games?
Did it start off, the winner doesn't have to get a vasectomy? Second place.
Or the two players win first prize and have to share it?
It was at one of my jobs. They had an event, and it's the only art house theater in the entire state, so a lot of different people will contribute different things for charity. Right. And for some reason, this doctor who has done, I've done my research, over 4,000 non-scalpel vasectomies decided to donate half of a vasectomy that is worth $800. You have to pay the other half.
That's good business.
Can I say... I would spring for this.
Oh, don't worry.
That's remarkable value.
That's
and
a good deal.
I'm pretty much done with that whole department.
Hey, can I say, 50-50 odds, better.
It's pretty
can
good.
You get just half of...
No, I don't think the doctor was offering one.
I don't think that's how that works.
No.
I'm not a doctor.
Hey,
but...
I've had one. Have you?
Whoa.
Well, I don't want to know the answer to that question. Don't answer that question. I don't want to know the answer to that question. Thank you.
Well... I didn't win it in the raffle, but later that night, there was a contest, and the vasectomy was untaken, and I won that contest. Oh. And they're like, you could choose from the raffle prizes. So I out loud in front of...
What were the other fucking options, Titus?
Nothing as funny as half of a vasectomy that was announced by a drag queen in front of a whole bunch of old people.
Yeah, no, that's fucking
good.
Great.
That's good.
You gotta do it.
I looked at them and I said, I'll take the half of a vasectomy, and nobody laughed.
Okay,
listen, Titus, I'm gonna tell you right now, you're funnier than the three of us put together for that move.
Yeah, it's a good play. Titus, thank you so much. I hope we helped you.
Oh, yes, you did. Thank you.
Enjoy your half the
second. Thanks, Titus. You're old.
Thank you.
This has been really fun.
Thank you so much for coming out tonight.
Hope you had a good time.
Thank you to the Riviera for having us. Thank you, Chicago. A lot of thanks up here tonight. Thanks to Paul and Rachel and Amanda.
Amanda and... Clint McElroy.
Thank you, Clint McElroy. There's the poster by Cynthia Soulars. Thank you so much. Check it out in the lobby. It's beautiful, and we signed some of them. Hey, y'all, we've got a new way to finish out the show that we've never tried because y'all are the first stop in our 20 Fungalore tour. We've started submitting wishes to Fungalore at the end of our episodes. Fungalore is a benevolent mushroom guy who grants wishes.
Well,
sometimes.
No, not benevolent. I would say ambivalent.
Ambivalent mushroom guy.
Because he does not grant.
He does hear them, though. He hears your wishes for sure.
And can I say, as the person who goes through the questions and the wishes.
Please clear this up.
A lot of you are asking Fungalore to grant wishes. Fungalore does not grant wishes.
No.
He simply hears them.
He detects desire.
He is the U.S. Postal Service.
Yes.
To Santa Claus.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah?
Okay.
So, we said our thank yous. Thank you so much. Come see us.
We say thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. I don't think we did.
Can we get you all to create a gentle sound bath?
Gentle, there's a lot of
them. Gentle?
A gentle sound bath.
It doesn't have to be uniform.
No, but if you do want to harmonize and make it sound like we're at a cool concert,
I'll get you started. Go
ahead.
Let's hear it.
Okay, you boys stop.
That's perfect. Keep going. Don't be afraid. We're all in this together.
No, don't.
I wish that candy corn didn't make you feel like that afterwards.
I wish my dog would stop acting like I'm the villain when I put on his harness.
I wish I was the type of person that buys tastier gummy vitamins.
Please make my father stop bringing home deli-sized logs of salami.
I wish my dad would stop buying china cabinets.
Please, please let me do one hit at work with the giant blow-up Tootsie Pop.
I wish the children at the library would stop asking if we have Roblox on the computers.
I wish that bugs were slightly bigger so that I wouldn't have to worry about losing track of them. It would also be kind of cool.
Fungalore, please make them put the rat hole back.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, he kissed your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.